ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Neil Ray, Justin Dyer,
what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And it only took us 6 years to figure out which side of the stage to enter from.
That's, well, as a classically trained actor, I feel like I've instructed you
for
so long.
I also want to say, that's Boothman.
Boothman!
But yeah, that was kind of nice. For those of you listening at home, I think that was pretty exciting to hear which side of the stage we were entering from.
So. It all adds to the continuity, you know? Yeah, putting it together.
Go. But that this felt pretty good. How are you guys feeling on this very warm pre-summer, pre-Memorial Day day?
I'm not as sweaty, nearly as sweaty as you are.
I am crazy sweaty.
You're a gross monster of a man.
I ran here from Staten Island.
Wow.
That seems unlikely and a mistake.
It was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
When you say a mistake, you mean Staten Island is a mistake.
Yeah, right, exactly.
What? That's no, it's a mistake. I'm not.
You've crossed out a lot of fans on our.
Sure.
With all your stagecraft talk and your anti Staten Island stance.
I've dated plenty of people from Staten Island.
Oh, yeah. You're
so
the.
That's supposed to make it better?
There. Yeah, you're a real Lothario over there on SI.
Are there any superheroes from Staten Island?
I don't know. Do we have, like, phone? Can we reach them by phone or the internet? I've never been talked to anyone on Staten Island. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys know, are there any superheroes specifically from Staten Island?
Are there any people from Staten Island?
Yeah.
No, there's just living
trash. It's an island prison colony.
There are superheroes. Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well,
guys, I'm very excited about the guests that we have on the show tonight. It's the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah. Big setup.
But they are awesome guests. One of them is an amazing writer. The other is an amazing actor. Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Soule and Henry Zebrowski.
Come on up. Give it up for them. Give it up. Yes. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Oh, way to bring a bag.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Get situated. You can sit in either seat. We haven't worked out that stagecraft yet.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. First of all, let's talk about your names. So, Charles, all week I've been practicing saying Charles Soule, and then I said Soule.
It is Soule.
Well
done. Yep.
Wow.
So I screwed it up in retrospect.
Yes, but you didn't screw it up. When the pressure was on, you nailed it. So
amazing.
Yeah, nice.
Yep.
Or by
so
accident
much.
Is another way of saying it.
Yeah, and Henry, we've known each other for a little while now.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Now, this is something I never realized. Your last name is Zebrowski.
Yeah, Zebrowski.
Yeah, my last name is Zalbin, but it was changed when my family came over on the boat from Zebrowski.
The boat?
The boat. We all came over on a boat.
Yeah.
So my question is...
You were a Zebrowski?
Zebrowski with an A, not an E.
Oh, weird.
So are we related?
No.
Are you his dad?
No.
Yeah.
You're his dad.
Am I your dad? Uncle Alex? I don't think... no, I don't think we are related. I think there is a thing... because I know that Zebrowski, when you trace it back, comes to this... There's this weird sort of Polish lord... who had a zebra as his album, like his like thing on his shield.
Oh,
as his album.
His shield.
His emblem. Album.
He released albums in ancient Poland. In ancient Poland.
It was like heavy, like, Prague stuff.
Yeah, it was really progressive back then.
Everything was in 13. It was all very intense.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about more pertinent matters. Charles, you just released an awesome graphic novel called Strange Attractors.
I did. Thank you very much for saying so.
Can you talk about that a little bit for people who stupidly haven't picked it up?
Okay, unnecessary.
I'm insulted, and I'm not even in the audience.
Strange Attractors is a graphic novel. Just was released by Arkea. They published it for me.
Nice.
It is about New York City, which is a hell of a town, right?
Yeah.
Hell of a town, New York
City.
It's right in the song. The basic premise of the book is that New York is so complex and crazy that it should have fallen apart decades ago. New York should not still exist, right? I mean, you look at kind of the way the city works, and you barely believe the subway runs from day to day, much
you
less the whole
like
city.
You sound like a terrorist, my friend.
Well, you know, that is really very scary. Yeah.
So
says that to a lot of our guests.
Justin, you sound like a terrorist.
Yeah. So the premise of the book is basically that New York should have fallen apart, except there's been one dude who's been keeping it together for years and years and
Michael
years.
Michael Bloomberg.
Oh, I was going to say that.
I know. I know that. I know you're going to say that.
It's actually much less interesting than that. It's a mathematician, an old mathematician.
That's much more interesting.
Yeah, who's been using sort of complexity theory and the butterfly effect to mess with the city systems and tinker with them and treat the whole city as like a big machine or an engine that he is keeping running because he loves it so much. But he's getting very, very old, and he's realizing he's going to die soon, so he has to find a successor to take over this job, particularly because there's this – through his complexity powers, he can see this gigantic kind of tidal wave of a crisis coming that's going to destroy the whole city. So if he doesn't get the successor soon and
Anthony
Weiner.
So he has powers. He's from New York City.
Yes.
Is he from Staten Island?
You know, the artist on the book is from Staten Island.
I think
he put a lot of Staten Island flavor into it, you know. Lots of hidden Staten Island jokes that I don't understand.
Oh, right.
You know, it's good. So,
fairies.
Island flavor.
Fairies and things.
Yeah,
like Daninos is in the back shot of like every single like panel.
Fresh Kills, isn't that on Staten Island? The big landfill, landfill.
Yeah. So. New Dorp. No, that's a real place. I was in New Dorp earlier today.
It's for cool, man. Yeah,
that's too bad.
Don't have to prove it to me.
Sorry.
No one's doubting your Dorp.
So last time you were on the show, you were still prepping Stranger Tactics, and now it's out. And in between that, you started doing a lot of other stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's been a busy, busy 2013. Do you want me to just run down the list?
Yeah, sure.
We love lists.
So I'm currently writing Swamp Thing for DC Comics, which is
great book.
An amazing, just a blast. I'm also writing Red Lanterns for DC Comics, which is very fun too.
Yep.
And then I'm writing Thunderbolts for Marvel, which is being edited by the inestimable Jordan White in our audience
tonight. Jordan T. White, the most shouted out man on Comic Book Club. Jordan D. White. More shout outs than even Pete.
So who would win in a fight, Swamp Thing or Thunderbolts?
Oh, good.
Great question.
Thank you.
Choose between two of your children.
Yeah.
I guess it's
which one of your children do you love more?
In a battle to the death between two of your children.
It's obviously Swamp Thing. There's like no discussion about it at all.
Oh, wow. You quickly chose one of your children.
That's obvious. Sorry, Jordan.
Yeah. Well, it's like in that movie Sophie's Choice where they're like, choose one of your children. It's like, that one.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much no
hesitation. That short film, that 10-minute movie, Sophie's Choice, where she just chooses the most beautiful child.
And that she has a great life.
Oh, great world we live in.
So let's talk about Swamp Thing. It feels like you had a two-issue ramp-up where Swamp Thing encounters Superman, and now we're really getting into it. You're adding a new character. What can you tease there?
Right. So I wanted to sort of get in and out quickly. If I was going to be fired off the book in two issues, I wanted to have at least one story done. Fortunately, it looks like I will be staying on the book for a little while, which is great. And now that I had kind of a laundry list of things I wanted to do if I only had two issues writing, you know, mainstream comics, and one of them was to write Superman, so I put Superman in my second issue, et cetera, et cetera. But since it seems like things are going pretty well, people like the first couple issues, I'm starting to world build a little bit, and I'm introducing a new character who's named Capucine, who is a 1,000-year-old French assassin.
Okay, 1,000.
Yeah, she looks
that
good
like
though.
A question like you
Well, you know, I know I'm pretty sure that's what she is. I mean, the issue's been turned in, so if that's not what she is, then I guess the
is she lying
changes.
To you?
We'll see. You know, she's very cool though, and it's a chance to. It's sort of when you're writing. Well, I'm going to get a little serious. This isn't going to be funny.
There's no time for fun here.
Everyone, shut up.
Yeah. So, but when you're working with a character like Swamp Thing or the Thunderbolts or any of these other iconic characters, and you decide to add something to their mythology, it's kind of a heavy thing. Like you know, and I just was like, oh, I'll put in a kick-ass lady because Swamp Thing has no supporting cast, and so I'll give him some new people to deal with. And then you're like, wow, you know, people will be making movies about that, and I'll be getting millions of dollars from it later on. And it was really, it felt good at
That's
that
nice.
Point.
Now we know about making
future
changes.
Money.
Yeah, the future money.
We know about making changes. We entered from the other side of the stage tonight. Yeah, so we know the gravity of changing things.
Yeah.
Is the serious part over? Can we start talking?
Yeah, go ahead. Laugh. Let's laugh.
Pete just shut down.
Yeah, I was like, seriously.
He went into full sleep mode.
And what about Thunderbolts? What's coming up there?
Thunderbolts is...
Congratulations on Thunderbolts, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations on that.
Not my favorite child, as we've established.
Oh, sure.
No, that's okay. Doesn't mean that child won't grow up to be fine.
Yeah.
Just like
maybe
the other
if you gave that child more attention, it could be better than Swamp Thing.
Maybe that child will grow up and have a comic book podcast, even though he's not the favorite.
Oh no. Justin, are you okay?
No, I was the favorite. I'm the oldest.
Actually, I spent time working on Thunderbolts today, right?
right, boss?
Right, boss? I was at work today.
By the way, if you're listening at home, you should know all of our bosses are sitting down.
This is awkward.
Yeah, we're going to have to check in with them every night. We're working.
Yep.
So the deal with Thunderbolts is that I'm a little afraid to talk about it. I feel like Jordan's going to like rush the stage if I give away too much. However,
he's done it before.
Yeah, he's right on the edge.
So I start with issue 12, which comes out soonish. I don't even. It's pretty soon.
Oh,
pretty
don't
darn
make
soon.
Him angry.
Comes out pretty soon. It's an issue focused on the Punisher, which was just awesome. So it's basically it's almost a one shot Punisher story, which is.
That's
pretty cool.
A great way to start.
That's nice. How I felt. Again, if I only get to do one, it's going to be something sweet.
Yeah,
but
Pete would actually just—I don't want to speak for Pete here, but if you could make every issue of Thunderbolts a one-shot featuring the Punisher, and that's it,
it's very accessible.
I would sell at least one copy every month. Right?
Yeah.
If you could do the same thing for Swamp Thing as well, I think that'd be
just make each one
just
a Punisher
one-shot. Just put the other
one-shot.
In the background.
Yeah. So then the second issue is a issue featuring another popular character called Mercy. who it's funny. Mercy has been, she's a Hulk villain from the 90s who was on the team, and she needs a little kind of, you know, a little support because she's not the Punisher. She's not Venom, who people know really well.
May I ask a question?
Of course.
When you go and find older characters, like Mercy,
yeah.
Do you have to, like, go through the archives, or you just know it all in your brain?
Well, fortunately, I have an external brain named Jordan,
who is helpful. Oh, okay, so this is done by mental powers. There's not a big scrapbook somewhere in D.C. where, like, yes, let's go.
Marvel, in this case.
Well, it's, right. I know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That is the real problem.
I'm sorry. I gotta go. I'm sorry.
You know, it's funny. There are archives. There are resources where you can go back and look at stuff. And they are generally, I found on both sides of the aisle, they've been really good about getting me whatever reference material I need, which is kind of cool.
I just imagine, like, Stan Lee with a huge book with a quill on it. He's like, welcome, true believer. And you, like, go down there and you have to, like, bring him gifts, and he gives you an unused villain from the early 90s.
Yes.
That would be me.
I'm sorry. So, I was genuinely curious.
You better bring him a good gift or you're going to get stuck with someone shitty.
Yeah, but I think...
A sandwich. I love it.
I think to this point, now, when you were writing, were you like, I want to get as kind of like a villain character? And then someone was like, well, you could use Mercy? Or was it like...
Actually, Mercy was established in the beginning of the run by Daniel Way, the writer who was working on the book before I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more that I think that the plot lines have been very dense and in a good way in Thunderbolt so far. And so Mercy hasn't really had a chance to, you know, be focused on.
Shine.
Right. Mm-hmm. To shine. Right. Mm-hmm. She does glow. I think she glows purple.
See.
And so we're going to give her that chance to shine in issue 13.
Awesome.
Was there any bit of disappointment that she didn't glow red like the rest of the Thunderbolts characters?
That's what happens in the issue, sorry. Man. Thanks
a
lot.
Just
that was my whole thing.
People are walking.
Oh, that glow red.
Alex, that's
so
fucked
now.
Up.
I'm really sorry. I'm sorry I spoiled Thunderbolts for you guys.
Yep. But then starting with 14, the one-shots are done, and we get into a big, awesome... the Thunderbolts come to New York. They have a huge crossover with the Infinity event that's happening.
Ooh, good. Way to play it cool.
Yeah.
Made a strong eye contact with Jordan's mustache.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to make sure he was like, okay, go for it, which will be really
fun. Like the Godfather.
So.
Cool.
Yeah, it should be really neat. I'm looking forward
to it. Well, that's a lot of stuff. Do you have any sort of website where people could check out all of these things?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Charles Soule, which is where I tweet a lot, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool.
But the website, the best place to find me is charlesoul.wordpress.com or charlesoul.com. That'll work too.
Nice.
All right. Very cool. Henry, let's turn it over to you.
Yeah.
So you're also doing a lot of stuff. I know one of the things that's probably most relevant to what we're talking about here, you're doing a geeky podcast.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Yes, I do a podcast called Last Podcast on the Left, which is mainly concerned with the paranormal and the occult. Spooky. As you can tell with my shirt, I have a very evil shirt on.
Yeah.
So, now, is it a problem for your podcast at all that ghosts don't exist?
No. We celebrate it.
Oh,
it is from a skeptic's point of view. Pretty much, it's like I sit and I listen to Coast to Coast most days and go, "What?" Yeah, I love Coast to Coast is my second home. George Norrie is my new father. I go and I listen to him speak, and he's just like, now when you see the black-eyed children, can they possibly be teenagers? He always like talks of his, it's very strange, and I listen to it. I listen to Colt, like the open lines, and I love it. And then we take some ridiculous elements and then put stuff, I believe in some things. And we go in there. Like, I believe in aliens.
Now I now want to know what the things are.
Yeah, I believe
what do you believe in?
I think that we have a tacit agreement with up to 12 different alien species that gave us wireless internet. I'm pretty certain.
That makes sense.
Why would they do that?
Because we couldn't figure it out.
Because everyone's getting wound up, and they porn will keep them cool.
That's
so they gave us wireless internet.
And they knew that.
Keep them cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam Sandler.
Is that your alien voice?
It's an alien voice.
Yep. We brought porn from Serpo. You know, it's just like weird blobs just slamming into each other.
Yeah.
So, can I ask a question?
Yes.
So, Last House on the Left was not a supernatural movie. It was a home invasion rapey movie.
Yes.
Which is fine.
I mean,
I recently watched that movie. Yes. That movie isn't like super bloody per se.
No,
it's
no,
intense.
No.
Terrifying.
Yeah, it is intense. So, but your subject matter is the paranormal. So why did you choose a non-supernatural? You see what I mean?
We started from a horror. Like, the basis of the original podcast was horror movies and serial killers. And it just slowly branched into the paranormal. So it's like we switch off a lot from, like, really floofy do. Like, we just did an episode about, like, how dolphins can see the energy grid on the world and, like, allows them to speak with the indigo children, you know?
Yeah.
Indigo children, which are obnoxious. and we did that, but then the next one we did, we did an episode on the Toy Box Killer, which is this guy named David Parker Ray, who made a trailer home, a $150,000 rigged up trailer home to be soundproof sort of sex dungeon, and we did this whole sort of, he basically, like in the movie Saw, him and his girlfriend would drug a woman in a bar, and then she'd wake up strapped to a thing with a video of him telling her this, like, long monologue, like, basically this, like, long thing of all the things he's going to do to her, and we read it online.
Wow. That's terrifying.
It gets scary. We do scary things.
That dolphin one was really fun.
Yes.
And then it bounces. Second one was really scary.
We like to take the audience one way and then do something really scary.
Can we just do a workshop something a little bit? What if, like, a guy takes a girl home, ties her up, monitor turns on, but it's a dolphin telling her stuff?
I mean, come down to it. I mean, they could be what greys are, you know? Yeah, and she's like, I love dolphins.
Yeah.
And this,
like,
this is great. Thank you
so much.
Could what it would be like.
Great connection point.
Cool. And you're also on a TV show.
I am. Yes, I'm on a show called Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. That means a lot. I love him. And he's a vegan. I did not know that. We went looking for vegan food together. There's one a vegan restaurant in Atlanta, and we found it. And there's lots of parrots in it. And he loved the parrots. It's Thursdays at midnight, made by the guys from Aqua Teen, Dave Willis, and Chris Casper Kelly, who also worked on, he did a bunch of shit. He read a bunch of episodes of Squidbillies. He did, was it Starcher and Hoop, right? Right? Stroker and Hoop. And he's brilliant. They are the best. They have the dream life.
Turner and Hooch?
Starker and Hoop?
He worked on Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch.
He helped build the robot Tom Hanks.
That looks like it takes you forever to get all that makeup and horns on. Like,
it takes an hour and a half in the morning. And it's like alcohol-based paint. It's like the stuff that they would spray on,
so you,
like,
play
Bar
Raphael. A demon. Just to,
I'm a demon, I live in, like, a cubicle land in hell. Like, hell is a giant office space
that makes
type
sense.
Thing. Yeah. It is, yeah. I see. I looked into that abyss once.
That's deep, man.
And it looked right back at me.
Whoa.
<Yeah. laughs> Very intense. No, yeah. It's good. I have a lot of fun. I love to do it. I mean, it's hard to say. It's like a dream come true. I finally get to be... I'd be a demon, and I work for Dave Willis.
There's a huge painted wall in Williamsburg that I believe has your face on it.
Yeah, I went and, I got real hard looking at it, and that was really nice. And then I went and we did a sort of spell circle around it, and that was good, gave me some power. But it's really not. It's, yeah, it's trippy when you see your face. A nice homeless family has, like, taken up.
Yeah, I saw
like,
them.
Yeah, it's,
oh, really?
It's cool. It's
they
cool.
Love the show, though, too.
They did, you know. It's very nice. They
do you stand by it a lot, being like, it's my
this
face.
Guy. You see this guy?
That's my pretty face.
Yeah, that's what actors do all the time when yeah. they're on TV.
Hey, look
stand
at
by
him.
Their billboards. Hey, talk to me.
Yeah, I have people throw change at me. It's really actually I need the money.
That's what residuals are, right?
Yes. Cool. That's what I didn't know that until I started yeah. doing this show.
It's fucked up.
And if people want to check out stuff about you, where would they go?
Murderfist.com or on Facebook or my Twitter account at Henry Loves You.
Oh, yeah. Very
that's
nice.
True.
There we go. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Stack.
Yeah.
Yay. In the Stack, we're going to talk about some books that we particularly like, starting with Pete's pick, Wonder Woman, number 20 from DC Comics. So, Pete, pick about that.
Yeah. So, this is based on the Mel Gibson movie, Give Me Back My Son.
That's not the title of the movie.
It's just kind of a fun romp.
I think it's called
where they parody that movie. What I thought was really interesting about this comic was you got two different artists, and it switches back what I would like to call seamlessly.
It does.
And when I saw the cover, I was like, wait, what the fuck? And I went back and I switched, and I was like, wow, nice, well done.
Yeah, because nothing bothers you more
yeah, exactly.
than when artists switch during
yeah,
a book.
It drives me insane.
Yeah.
Because it pulls me right out of the story, but this is done
so. They fooled you with this one.
Yeah, they fooled me.
Charles, as a professional comic book writer, what's your opinion on having multiple artists in one issue of a comic book?
It is a gigantic nightmare unless there's a story-related reason, like a dream sequence or flashback or something
cool.
like that. Then it can work. But if it's like just page four is X and page five is Y, it sucks.
Yeah.
No matter how much they try to match, it's just terrible.
Cool.
Is it kind of like having a band that has like two drummers?
Yeah, they're like
the Allman Brothers.
Yeah, like
it's a lot like the Allman Brothers.
Okay, like cool. if halfway you. Through a Beatles song, they kick Ringo off and invited Pete Best out, and we're like, he'll do just as well. It'll
well,
be
Ringo would have been happy for the break.
That actually would be. He probably would have done just fine.
Yeah, he would have.
But
you shut the fuck
real,
up
real
about
Pete Best fan base over here. I didn't know.
You watch what you're saying about Best.
Okay, cool.
We all saw Backbeat, right? I mean, we know what he was.
Yeah.
There's a
no, shit, that was Stu Sutcliffe.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Pete Best sucks.
Throwing references around. Pete Best is the worst.
Yeah. You talking about That Thing You Do? Great movie.
Yep. What'd you think of Wonder Woman?
That is the second Tom Hank reference. So far. We'll see how many we can shoehorn.
The audience is going crazy for it. Wonder Woman, this is the one DC book that feels like it's... They were like, oh, New 52, we got to relaunch everything. And they were like, no, we'll just want to tell this story. And I really like that it exists on its own. It's nice. It's very mythological. It reminds me of the old Wonder Woman series from like 81 or something.
Linda Carter.
Nope, not the TV show. The Perez series from way back in the day where it was very based in the mythology and you really get the character and it's
yeah, there
big
was actually
world-building.
A really cool fight sequence where one god is yelling at Wonder Woman like, why do you pretend to be an earthling and not, like, boast and be a god, you know? Yeah. And then one woman slapped her around and really messed her up and was like, yeah, don't ever talk to me like that again.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
I think my favorite thing about this book is the redesigned Olympian gods. I think
yeah.
the way that Cliff Chiang has redone them.
I mean, that's just
fantastic. Poseidon is amazing. He's a big catfish octopus guy who laughs like a Miyazaki character and goes, prah, 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 prah.
Though the thing I
Plus
don't like
do
about him.
You can get fresh shrimp from him, which is nice.
You can get fresh shrimp from his body, which is not what I call a meal, but he does. He looks just like the Jar Jar Binks buddies from the first, from Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't like him about that.
Oh.
All right.
Well, let's talk
looks
about
like
well,
Boss Nass. He looks like Boss Nass.
That.
I didn't. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah,
Boss Nass.
Absolutely right.
Wow, you must love that character to know.
Oh,
name.
He's the best. I had to figure.
Yeah, he is the best.
Yeah, you know, that actually that makes a lot of sense because in this issue, Wonder Woman's like, you was thinking people's going to die?
Yeah.
Which is weird to me, but now it's all
it's
coming together.
It's a
great,
strong choice. Well, that's where the New 52 is eventually going to become the Phantom Menace.
Right. They're seeding infinite battle droids.
Yeah.
All right. Wolverine and the X-Men, number 29. This was Justin's pick. let's Justin talk about this fabulous this comic book. What'd you like about this?
So this, we've had the Dog Logan four-issue arc that just finished up, and we're back to the school. Oh, Wolverine's like, I'm sorry, I'm so bad at running this school. The students are like, we
Simple
love you.
Names.
Then we flash to the future, and we get to see half the comic is set 25 years in the future. They bury a time capsule, and we see Wolverine still alive, gray, all the little Bamfs have little beards.
Yeah,
it's great.
Cool.
Kid is I Man, and he's awesome. And we get to – it's just such a sweet storyline. I don't want to spoil too much of it, but Wolverine has to make a hard choice, and the way the sort of – the twist in here is so nice. It's such a great – such a well-written comic. And with all those great little things of like – Wolverine event, the future Wolverine lists the problems that are coming their way, and I love that shit. There's nothing more in comic I like when they set up what's going to happen and don't tell you. They just use.
It's such an X-Men thing.
I know,
to do,
it's
too.
Such an X-Men thing. It's like straight 90s X-Men, and I love it. I eat it up. The words in there, he just says in one little word balloon, Gene. Amazing.
Yeah, there are 29 issues in, and I don't think there has been a bad issue of this comic yet.
Yeah, it's been really solid.
Jason Aaron. I mean, he's
awesome.
Spectacular.
And the thing that's particularly good about this is it's funny at the same time as it's dramatic.
Yep. Yeah, seeing Wolverine being awkward while he's trying to talk and adjust his tie really is cool.
Does he get old, Wolverine?
A little bit.
He gets a beard in this issue.
That's cool.
Yeah, and everyone with a beard is old.
Are you old?
Yeah, he's gray. Yeah, and you're like, you gray beard? And he's just like, I can't heal my hair, right? Is that how that goes?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know.
You can't heal your hair.
Last thing we're going to talk about, this was my pick, The Dream Merchant, number one from Image Comics. I'm guessing a lot of you didn't pick this up by the lack of total applause or anything.
Yep.
But this is a great
total
book
applause.
By Nathan Edmondson, who's been, I think, on a run of fantastic books.
He did this comic Dancer, which was one of my favorites.
It's a little hard to describe exactly what this book is.
Yeah, could you please? I read
sure.
it.
Sure. Basically, there's a kid who has trouble sleeping, or rather keeps falling into a dream state. Mm-hmm. Whenever he falls into the dream state, same thing happens. He sees this space. He's flying. He doesn't know what's going on. It turns out by the end of the issue that people are using his dreams to suppress what the real world is like. And I know that sounds kind of highfalutin a little bit, but the thing that I think is so great and so fun about this issue is it makes it work in a very straightforward manner. The characters are very relatable. It's a high action premise at the same time because there's creatures that are attacking him. And it feels like a dream the entire time through Konstantin Novosadov's art.
Nice.
There you go. I nailed that name.
That last sentence I will agree with you. It feels like a dream because you're like, wait, what? Where does this – how is this
wait,
going?
Wait, what?
Wait, how?
You know
wait,
what this reminded me of? Bone. This reminds me a lot of like Bone.
Oh, yeah, I
sort
can
of,
see that.
And the way it is, very simple story. It's one thing, and then we have this the fantasy element sort of encounters our characters.
What's interesting about this series for me is I actually know Nathan quite well.
Ooh.
Yeah. Quite.
Sounds like something's going on there.
Yeah.
And this is a real like he's never really done sort of a paranormally kind of fantasy series like this. All his typical series would be like a spy thriller or a military thriller or something like that, and that seems to be his wheelhouse up to this point. So to have him branch out is kind of cool, and I hope I'm glad you picked it, and I hope it does well.
Yeah, I really liked it.
I think it's good. If you're looking for something a little different, pick up The Dream Merchant, and that's it for the stats.
Yeah,
guys, we're gonna move on to the next section, and this is without a doubt my favorite section of the entire show.
Really changing.
It's your audience questions for that. We're going to go over there, and we're going to talk to this guy whose name is Boothman.
Wow. Way to break it down.
Yeah. Boothman!
Hi, everybody.
Yo.
Oh, hi. Whoever just said that.
Great.
Oh, God.
She's very intimate.
So I got some questions.
Yeah, we know. This is the section where you always have questions.
I can't wait for them.
Would you like me to read
What them? Is this? Yes.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm ready to answer some questions.
It's not even a bit. We just really want you to read these questions.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I'll read these questions. All right, this is the first question.
Okay, great.
So the first question is...
okay, how do you think Dan Slott will eventually end Superior Spider-Man and restore Peter Parker After the events of issue number 9, will he even try?
Oh, right. Oh, okay, so for a little bit of background for you guys, in recent issues of Spider-Man.
Wait, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to?
You can do a real sweary version of this in a second.
Yeah. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you an explanation that Pete is going to translate it.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so the explanation is, in recent issues of Spider-Man, Spider-Man fought Dr. Octopus. Dr. Octopus and Spider-Man switched brains.
Okay,
Spider-Man died. Dr. Octopus was still alive.
But Dr. Octopus's brain was inside Spider-Man when Spider-Man died.
Right. Yeah. Want to translate
so
that?
So good.
Translate that?
No. Do your whole thing.
Do my whole thing. Oh, okay. So then what happened?
Oh.
Right. So Dr. Octopus alive in Spider-Man's body. Turns out there was a little bit of Spider-Man still left inside.
Just a little bit.
He's been fighting back, fingernail. Trying to make his way back. But as of issue 9, Dr. Octopus wiped out Peter Parker entirely. Only Dr. Octopus's brain is left in Peter Parker's body. That's it.
He's got to come back in a sex dream. That's what he's got to do, is fight his way through the subconscious and just slowly make love to Dr. Octopus's mother.
Whoa. Man. Talk about a dream merchant right over here.
Do you think that would work if he made love to his mother, like, fast? Or is it only going to work if it's slow?
What?
So, hey, Alex, that's a great question. That's the question everybody
what
was thinking.
What question was that?
I don't know. You want
to
translate?
I think the word is completely.
Yes, oh, good. Completely. You know?
All right, so this is what really happened. Dan Slott, a so-called Spider-Man fan, got the job writing for Spider-Man. Was doing an amazing job.
I like that you start your story in the real world.
Yeah.
and then you're easing into the comics.
So then he decides, being such a huge Spider-Man fan, that he'll kill Spider-Man and have the bad guy win, which is awesome, right? That's a great choice to make, because that's what we want
Sarcasm.
To happen in comics.
Sarcasm.
Not only that. He then has the bad guy run around being Spider-Man, and then he's, like, having weird, awkward scenes with MJ, like, you're hot, I'm a douchebag, and I'm going to totally nail you later.
That's not a direct quote.
You can't even read it. You're like, I can't believe this is happening.
It's a loose
quote.
So
he took everything that was great about Spider-Man and then made it better.
Oh.
Wow. If he writes 200 issues with this Dr. Octopus Spider-Man, and you just have to deal with it, and that's who Spider-Man is from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be
okay.
That's my hell.
That would be hysterical.
I think we've very concisely laid the groundwork to answer this question.
Yep, there we go.
Can you ask the question again?
You want me to ask the question, or
okay, all right, what's going to happen with Spider-Man? How's Peter Parker going to come back?
I think he will come back. He has been as of the last issue, yes. But we only get like one panel of Dr. Octopus saying, "I won." Like, I think we'll see that he finds his way back, and it's great.
Yeah, I think he's dead forever because the Dr. Octopus version is clearly better.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It's right in the title.
That is a fucking
crazy. And the sales.
That's stupid. Yeah.
That's stupid. Mm.
I'm going to take my Have you been reading this book, Charles?
I have on and off. The idea that, I mean, Spidey's going to come back. Don't be an idiot. I mean, don't get so worked up. He's going to come back.
You can call him an idiot.
Pete likes to have.
So I should just, you know, throw my money away and not care about the content.
If you're worried about the writing or the ideas or the art or anything.
I'll tell you what to do.
I'll tell you what to do. What you do is you put your money towards other things until Peter Parker comes back.
That's what I'm doing.
Pete has a
doctor. But yeah, you seem to be very well versed in exactly what's happening in Spider-Man.
I mean, I'm generalizing. I haven't read the fucking thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Pete has a doctor that told him he should raise his stress level to the as high as possible all the time.
Ulcer City. All right.
He's trying to push his heart to the fucking limit.
No, but I'm curious to what your point is as a writer. Like, do you think that?
What's your point?
If you took over
Swamp Thing.
Let's say in a mirror universe.
Here's maybe a great idea. Why don't you take over Swamp Thing and then turn Swamp Thing into like a ballerina who wears dresses?
Or he's making flowers coming out all over. Yeah. Well, he does do that.
Do you think people
into plants?
I did that in my first issue.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank good. Good.
So, by the way, have you guys just?
Make him made out of meat.
Yeah, this is a little beside bar. Pete, have you been reading Ballerina Thing? Because that's one of my favorite books right now.
Well, I think that if you take a left turn with your character,
lady.
People have a right to be like, hey, that kind of sucks.
They do. But I also think that the idea is maybe you're in good hands with Dan Slott.
Oh.
Maybe we are. Or maybe I trusted those hands and then they fucked me.
Whoa, that's weird.
I think this is. I think something happened here that is way outside the books. I think you and Dan Slott had
like
an encounter.
Like Pete said, he got hand
and it didn't go
by
well.
Dan Slott.
Do you think that you're stuck
well
inside
Dan Slott,
Dr. Octopus's body right now, Pete? Is that what's going on?
Yeah. He's done. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're listening at home, big shocking reveal.
Big reveal.
Pete was hand fucked by Dan Slott.
Hand fucked.
Raise your hand if you asked that.
Great question.
Nice job, guys.
Great question.
Nice job.
You're going to get hand fucked by Pete. Let's get the next question.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not good.
Next question. I believe this is for Charles, but it's not directly addressed.
Okay.
Okay.
Now that you are working on two all red comic book teams with Red Lanterns and Thunder. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Wow.
Jeez. He's only got one job.
I know,
he takes
that's
it
what I was
going to
say.
Yeah.
This is all he has. I apologize for stepping on it.
Yeah.
Please shine. Shine for us.
You know, I don't know.
Come on.
Come on.
Jesus Christ.
All right, so
Christ.
Red Lanterns and Thunderbolts.
Please.
What other colors would you like to tackle?
Nice. Wow.
Oh, you thought Swamp Thing's
green,
right? Great question. Yeah, Swamp Thing's green. I don't know. Well, yellow? Probably yellow.
Yellow, good.
Oh,
yellow.
Well,
right now we're covering a lot of the colors with our lighting, which is nice.
Yeah,
as
what
well.
Other colors are there, guys?
I don't know.
Well, indigo, blue. Those indigo children sounded interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Maybe I could write an indigo child book.
You should.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just call it Little Douchebags of the Future.
What are indigo children?
They're dicks. It, I need some background. Give me some research.
There, so people who view auras for a living say that apparently as of 1986, like normally,
great
you know,
year.
People's auras are like greens or yellows or reds if you're Hitler. But if you, they're now starting to see new indigo, that's sort of an indigo. It's starting to hurt my eyes.
Yeah.
The, they're starting to see new indigo auras like after 1986, and they're finding these children are, they question authority. They don't take no for an answer. They're not the kind of person to take the explanation. Wait till your father gets home. They're sensitive.
So you like sound like a dating website entry.
Yes, that's like what it is. Yes, and so like technically, like I'm an indigo child. I had a psychic read my aura and said that I am an indigo child. Which
congratulations!
Means, I cool. feel good. It's helping.
There you go. You raise your hand if you ask that. You're gonna get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Okay, he's been a Frankenstein. An angel of death, a spaceman.
A spaceman?
Another dating website entry.
He's lonely. No. And even got a righteous tan. What new weird thing should happen to the Punisher?
The Punisher. What's the next thing? Let's turn it over to the Pete's Punisher corner.
What should... about, I mean, can I just throw something in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ballerina Punisher.
Oh, interesting.
Someone should take over his head.
I'd like to see the Punisher in college. Can he get back and learn something?
Oh, Teen Punisher.
Huh?
Frank
no, I
Castle.
Think he should go back as an adult.
Oh,
and,
as an adult.
Oh, wait. No, no, no. Teen Punisher. So these bullies come and ruin his picnic. And so he decides
bullies
to...
Is a,
he should go to the learning annex.
Yeah, exactly. Some adult education.
Some community college.
Did he ever get sent to, like, Afghanistan as a part of, like, a private military group?
Yeah, he's the one in the real world that killed Osama bin Laden.
Wow.
He's the guy in SEAL Team 6 that wrote
so
the
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
That's who it was.
Yep.
I'm hoping to, you know, we get back to basics with the Punisher. You know, just go back to
killing
people.
That's not what the question asked.
Yeah, he needs a new weird thing.
Weird, something weird.
He could have sex with Dr. Octopus's mother.
There we go.
Interesting.
Oh, I like it.
That's what I call
let's
a crossover.
Ruin all the books.
That's cool. A crossover raise, that can sell some titles.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Which villain do you feel the worst for?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy. You know, there was a little while that I felt like Jeff Parker was building up MODOK into something cool and exciting and really dangerous, and then he just became cannon fodder again. I feel a little bad about that.
You feel bad that he's not really hitting
on all cylinders.
Yeah,
he was a joke. He was a gigantic flying head with spider arms. Jeff Parker and I think Declan Shalvey as artist, maybe spent a lot of time, or maybe it was Gabriel Hardman. I don't remember. Gabriel Hardman spent a lot of time making him into a bit of a badass, redesigning his look. Thank you, boss Jordan D. White, making him into a bit of a badass. And then he just became the guy that people beat up because it's funny because he has a big head.
I feel bad for Dr. Doom, man. He's running a whole country, and he just fucks around all the time with time platforms. And
sounds like Obama.
We had time platforms.
Right?
Well, that's controversial. I don't want to be on the
super
internet when this comes out.
What a scandal. The Obama time platform scandal.
Yeah. Cool. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics.
All right.
Got any more questions? Let's get one more question.
Swamp Thing or Giant-Sized Man Thing?
Ooh, Charles, that's for you.
You know, the Swamp Thing, of course.
Obviously. You got to go
okay.
with Swamp Thing.
No, I have to. I have to.
I don't know. I like Man Thing. The whole thing of, like, if you know fear, you will burn at the touch of Man Thing. He's crazy. It's a crazy idea to have as a thing in a comic book.
What, that he, like, makes you scared when he touches you?
No, if you're scared.
You literally burn.
If you're scared of him and he touches you, you light
right.
on fire.
Cool. And the thing that's crazy about it is it's not like... just I have a natural fear. There's a gigantic, hideous green monster
yeah.
coming towards you with its head, trying
course,
to grab
I mean,
your
scared.
Face. You're like, not scared.
Unless
cool.
he finds the one woman who laughs and then he falls in love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she'll know the
That's
touch
a
of love.
Line.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. That's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Booth Band. All right, guys, we're running a little low on time, so we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage for trivia.
Yay. We're doing two shows, and we're not going to talk about Star Trek.
Okay, one-word review.
Great.
Boring.
Great-ish.
Already been done.
It's three words. But
nice,
still.
Good.
The first one I liked.
There we go.
Great.
Wait, other topics we need to cover. We get Wolverine trailer.
I love the new one.
Too much Jean Grey.
Silver Samurai robot?
Yeah, he was really tall.
Yeah.
Tall robot?
I want to see a new Wolverine.
Yeah!
Nice.
Wait, Henry, do you want to be the new Wolverine?
Yes.
Is this an offer? Yeah. Is this an audition?
Yeah.
Imagine what the homeless family would think if you were in Wolverine. That homeless family would be like,
oh my God, they'd be in love with me. Yeah. I mean, they'd be staying with me.
I right. would get home.
It'd be my giant mansion-like home.
All right.
Trivia.
Yeah. Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming out. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25? Simple raising of the hand. So, yes, you, brave soul. Come on up.
Brave soul. Are you related to Charles Soul?
Oh.
Thank you.
I hope Charles doesn't hate me after this. All right. Cool. Yeah. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and then you will win $25. Boothman would like you to open up a little bit to the live streaming camera.
Oh, that's nice. Man, I always got his eye on the live stream.
I would say come on down if you want a better view. All right, here we go. So today's trivia is this week in comics. All this stuff came out this week. I'm sure you've read everything, so you know this. Thank you, Boothman. Here we go. Question number one.
You're welcome.
In Thunderbolts number 9, they have a big fight with, is it A, Crimson Dynamo?
Ooh.
I can't even talk. B, Wendigo. Or is it C, a Star Trek geek? So it's either A, Crimson
Oh, my God.
Dynamo.
Is it written with all those D's in there?
Yeah, yeah. That's the hard part.
You're terrified.
Or is it B, Wendigo? I would go with A, so I don't have to say it again.
Because he's red.
Yeah!
Smart. Dynamo. It fits.
In Iron Man number 10, we learn more about, is it A, Mandarin, B, Howard Stark, or is it C, James T. Kirk?
Interesting.
B.
B is correct. In FF number 7, we see which villain? Is it A, Blastar, B, Stiltman, or is it C, Khan? So is it A, which is the correct answer, or is it B?
There was the wizard who was trying to bring back the Frightful Four. I think it might have been Blastar.
$25 free dollars, sir. Congratulations.
Amazing. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Daredevil number 26.
Oh, any particular reason?
Continues to be an amazing series.
Great, there we go. Nice. Justin, what about you?
Adventure Time number 16. Great, fun comic. If you love the show Adventure Time, which I do, great. This comic is just like the show. It's crammed full of jokes, and it's really well done.
It's not as good as your pretty face, but it's pretty good.
Hell yeah.
Okay, that's an unnecessary competition between
those
two
shows. Yeah, that's fine. No, I enjoy it.
Network.
I mean, Are people watching more than one television show in their week?
Wait, you can watch more than one?
Oh, geez.
That's the thing. I didn't want to tell you that because I need the ratings.
Yeah.
Pete is still only watching Charles in Charge.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yep. I'm really looking forward to Superior Spider-Man number 10.
You piece of shit.
But I also want to mention Dia de los Muertos number 3.
Well,
yeah.
You don't get two picks.
No, the first one was just being mean to you.
Oh, okay.
Though it is actually
we all get one of those.
But Dia de los Muertos from Image Comics is an amazing anthology where all the stories are set on the Day of the
Dead.
Well,
after you say the first part, no one really will trust your opinion.
Oh, the first part about Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
The first part
People just – a million people just turned off this podcast.
Yeah, by the way, congratulations.
To all of us.
A billion downloads every episode.
Yeah, it's crazy. People be going crazy for podcasts, right?
Absolutely. I have in the thousands.
Yeah.
There we go. Charles, what are you looking forward to?
I was going to say Daredevil 26, but since that's taken, I will say Five Ghosts 3, which is
nice.
Fantastic.
Great books. Yeah. We had Frank on the show recently.
You know, I feel like kind of came out of nowhere, as Image series tend to do, and he's killing it, and it's beautiful, and you should check it out.
Yes. Yeah,
and Charles, plug your stuff. What should people check out from you?
Oh, well, Strange Attractors is on shelves now. I would really appreciate it if you would check that book out, since From the Heart. And I've got Swamp Thing and Red Lantern and Thunderbolts coming within mere weeks. Just weeks
mere
away.
Weeks.
There we go. Henry, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
There's so many comic books. I would say, I was just talking about that All-Star Western thing. I want to see this Western comic book.
Yeah. That's good. Pete's a big fan of the book.
Yeah, yeah.
Jonah are you?
I like Westerns.
You make fun of it every single month.
No, I wish it would go back to being Jonah Hex. And
well,
not...
did you know you heard what they're doing, right?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so Jonah Hex, you've been pretty pissed because he's in Gotham City, right?
Right.
What if he came forward in time to today's Gotham City?
That's perfect. Just what you want.
Why won't they just do what was good about it?
Well, you know what? Sometimes you have to change, Pete.
Oh. Is Biff in it? Because that would be pretty sweet if Biff was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't find a new way to have him get shit in his mouth.
No one is letting me write these comic books.
Yeah.
They won't let me.
Well,
into
maybe
the
a lot of people listen under this. Maybe they're going to fire you.
Plug your
comic book just about Biff.
Plug where people can check out your Biff comic book, Henry.
Henry loves you at Twitter.
Awesome. Next week on the show, Alex Farron and Jade Fusco from Harlequin Creature Magazine are going to be here.
Yeah.
That's right.
Also, our fabulous interns, we want to thank them, Iman Bell, Duranda Dannenhofer, Tom Erdar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Patty Tanicella, and Riley Trahan. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all of our amazing guests we have on the show. Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yep, check us out at comicbookclublive.com or nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Charles for being on the show.
Yeah!
Henry!
Boothman!
We also want to thank everybody here at Fontanus for having us here. And most of all, we want to thank you guys.
Thanks,
everybody.
Thank you guys. Thanks for coming
out. Thank you guys so much.
Good night.
Good night.